Okay, let's begin. First, this week is Parshas Balak. First, short idea. I came across one of the old volumes of the Penimim from the rabbi in Cleveland.
Scheinbaum
his name? Scheinbaum, there. So this is an old volume. So I have some old volumes I was quickly running through. I found something that caught my attention. He asked the question, why is Parshas Balak called Parshas Balak? It should be called Parshas Bilam. Who is the main antagonist of the Parsha? Bilam, the one that uttered the curse, the one that uttered the three curses, the attempted to curse Klal Yisrael. And his curse were transformed to the most beautiful brachos. And the one who predicted, gave us the Nevu, what's going to be the Achas Hayam, is Bilam. The main player of Parshas Balak is Bilam. Bilam should be the one that gets the Parsha should go, the name of the Parsha should be given to him. So he says something very, very simple. We all make a very big mistake. Sometimes we can make a mistake in life and think that the person who is guilty of a crime is the actual criminal, the one that actually does the crime. Or in the other way, in the other fashion, the matan schar shel tzedikim is much more than the punishment. The one that is responsible for a mitzvah is the one that actually does the mitzvah. But you learn from this week's parsha that it's not so much, of course, there's no question, the one that does an avera is responsible, but the one that engineers the avera, or the one that instigates to a certain degree, is much more, to a greater degree, is responsible. Here, the one that attempted to curse Klal Yisrael, to destroy Klal Yisrael, the criminal is Bilam. But Bilam would not have done anything on his own. Bilam was a private citizen living in a... in Midian, he was wherever he was in Moab, wherever he was a private citizen. He was not going to do anything. It's only Balak, who did nothing. Balak did not have the talent to bring harm upon Klal Yisrael, but he was the one that hired and sent shluchim and told Bilam, "Ki chabeda chabedcha me'ot, I'll give you whatever you want. I want you to curse Klal Yisrael." He is the Rasha. He is the one that is responsible. I remember hearing not so long ago. This is why this caught my attention, because I remember hearing not so long ago tapes, shiurim, lectures from Rabbi Stephen Przanski on the Eichmann trials. Fascinating, the whole event, how they caught him and what they did, the trial and the big debate in Eretz Yisrael, and how it would play out today. If today they would find Eichmann, let's say, obviously today 70 years passed, but how the mindset of society. And in a short space in his lecture, he said something very, very strange, which caught my attention. They were never able to prove that Eichmann himself ever killed one Jew. There's no eyewitness, there's no testimony, if I'm not mistaken, that he ever killed a Jew. He ever physically went and took the life of one of the 6 million Jews. Not that he didn't do it, I'm sure he did, but there was no testimony. They never caught him. Yet, he was the engineer. He was the one who was responsible, Himmler, Eichmann, in the Churban of 6 million Jews. And the trial and the whole event of capturing Eichmann, the Holocaust is on his name. Hitler, Himmler, Eichmann, it's on his name. This is a message that comes from this week's parsha. There were people, there were lackeys, and they were wicked. We know the rishis of the Nazis, the individual soldiers who actually executed Jews, their wickedness. Aimless shire, the cruelty, the barbarism, what went on.
Eichmann had his office.
Yes.
In the biggest shul in Budapest.
That's where he set up the office.
The back of the shul.
Scrubbing everyone that was Jewish. It was an article, the poster child for the perfect. You see this article? There was a certain. But the point that we learn from this parasha is, there are very wicked people out there. There's no question about it. The wicked people have to be accountable for their crimes, and they have to be punished. But don't lose sight of the big picture. The big picture are the people that instigate, the people that are responsible. They, to a much greater degree, bear responsibility for the horrible crimes and pain that the tzibur suffers. Talk about what happened this week, Rahman al-Fan, with those three boys that were killed. So they're searching and searching for the two, three terrorists that killed the three boys. They're the Bilam. Those three boys, they're the Bilam. But don't forget, there's a Balak. There's a Balak. There's an Abbas. There's a whole Hamas. There's a whole culture of hate, a culture of sinner. Don't take lightly the Sharoshim, the roots, the culture that creates a society where such a thing is tolerated and such a thing can be done. That, to a much larger degree, has to be taken into account, and not to micromanage the tzara. Every participant, of course, without question, has to pay the price. But don't lose sight in the big picture. The parsha is called Parshas Balak. Balak, in the big picture of things, as far as the details of what happened, did very little. He just said, "Nu, come, I'll pay you, I'll give you kavod. Come." The one that did everything was Bilam. Bilam was the one that tried to bring the curse upon Klal Yisrael, Kalem, and all Chazal say. But the parasha is focused on Balak, because Balak is the instigator, and that is something that we always have to keep in mind. And just like it's true, unfortunately, for harm, for tsar, for pain, for tsara, alachas kam v'kam is true when it comes to good things. Not just the people that actually do good things, but people who are instrumental, who enable, who are the engineers in bringing about blessing in this world. How much greater is their reward, and how much credit do they deserve for the good they bring to this world?
Balak's punishment was they had a parsha of the Torah and they kept them.
He's not remembered for good. Balak is not. It's not. That's not called a reward. That's a reward. That's to be infinite. Infamous. Infamous is not. Is not a schar. It's that's a punishment. It's he's not Balak. Is not remembered in the Torah. Letoiv. Okay, he's remembered Lara. It's a curse for him that his name should be mentioned every single time. He's the one that instigated this entire event. Okay, let's go to another idea. The following idea I saw, I forgot the name of the sefer. I think it's one of the, it's the Rosh Yeshiva now in Cleveland. I think his name is Goldberg. Goldberg's his first name. You know what his first name is? Rav Goldberg, the Rosh Yeshiva in Tells, Cleveland. His name is Goldberg. He put out many, many svarim, a beautiful svarim. He has here a vard, a very powerful vard. It really caught my attention, made an impression upon me. We have in this week's parasha where Balak takes Bilam to see, to observe Klal Yisrael. Part of the rules of issuing a klala, we don't know how this works. He has to see the specimen before he can issue, he could utter the klala. Okay, he tries to curse Klal Yisrael once, it doesn't work. So what does Balak say to Bilam? Let's go to a different place. Let's try to curse them in a different location. L'chono iti el mokom acher ulai. Maybe in this different angle, this different location, you'll have more success. Doesn't work a second time. He takes him to a third location. He keeps on changing locations because each time he tried to curse, it doesn't work. Rav Goldberg says, contrast this with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was mispalel to save the people of Sodom. The wicked people of Sodom, Avraham Avinu felt maybe we can find some schus, some merit. And Avraham is oimit to mispalel here for Parshas Lech Lecha, is designated to his tefillah, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. After everything is said and done, it doesn't work. And the Malachim go to destroy Sodom. Avraham basically failed. Avraham failed in saving the people of Sodom. Couldn't even, only one he saved was Lot. Everyone else, even that he did not ask for. He asked for at least 10 people. Saving the 10 people, no, not, nothing worked. And then what happens after Sodom is destroyed? Pasuk says, immediately after Eshes Lot turns into a Nitziv Melach, Perek Yutes Pasuk Chof Zayin. I'll read you first. Pasuk Chavava Tabeit Ishto Me Acharav Atihi Nitziv Melach. Sodom is destroyed. Avraham has failed in his Koyach Atzila. Pasuk of Zayin Vayashkeim Avraham Baboker El Hamokoyim Asher Omat Sham Es Pnei Hashem. Avraham gets up the next morning, he goes back to Davin, he goes back to the same exact Mokoim where he was mispalel yesterday to save the people of Sodom. Rav Goldberg, look at the difference between Bilam and Avraham. Bilam and Balak and Avraham. Bilam and Balaam, they both have in common that they failed. Bilam tried to curse. He tries to influence HaKadosh Baruch Hu to curse Klal Yisrael. He failed. Avraham also was mispala. Kayachat Tefillah is similar to a certain degree to a curse. Avraham failed. Bilam failed. Why did I fail? I am perfect. Bilam is basically declaring, Bilam and Balak, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfect. The Mokoyim. It's the Mokom, that's the problem. So we'll go to a new Mokom. I failed again. I'm not a failure, I'm perfect. It's the Mokom. Avraham Avinu, the father of Klal Yisrael, the patriarch of Klal Yisrael, is teaching you a lesson. When you fail, it's not the Mokom, it's not the circumstances, it's you. The Mokom is good. You have to try again. You have to return. Vayashkeim Avraham Aboki gets up early in the morning like nothing happened. There's no problem in the Mokom. Try again. Go back to the same Mokom Asher Omachon. Try again. Very powerful. Don't look for chesronos in others. You got a problem? Look at yourself. Work on yourself. Work harder. And that is where the issue will come from. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here in the parasha, Bilam meets the angel. He meets the donkey. He's traveling on the donkey, and the donkey three times, Shalosh Rugalim, three times goes off the derech, or doesn't. The first time it goes off into the sada. The second time it goes again. It rubs against the wall. It crashes into the wall. And the third time it just crouches in its. In its location. Each of the three times the Bilam hits the donkey and says, "Donkey, what are you doing? Let's get moving. We have a mission. Why are you making trouble?" Finally, the Malach appears. Okay, the Malach appears before Bilam and rebukes Bilam. Vayomer Elov Malach Hashem. Why have you hit them with your donkey three times? Do you know why the donkey has first went off the path, the second time has gone into the wall, the third time has crouched? It was me. I stood in front of the donkey. I prevented the donkey from traveling forward. And that's why the donkey. It's a good thing that the donkey followed my directive, because if it did not, I would have killed you, Bilam. So we have now the next pasuk is a shocking pasuk. If you were writing the Torah and you came to this point in time, what would you expect Bilam to say? Bilam would say, "You know, you're right. I was traveling with my donkey. Three times the donkey did something very strange. I didn't know what was going on. I hit the donkey. Okay, now I know the secrets." A revelation, divine revelation. It was the malach was guarding my donkey. Wow. Okay, I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want me to do. The Torah here says something that a human being would never expect. Vayomer, certainly not from Bilam. Vayomer Bilam il malach Hashem chotosi. I have sinned. Chotosi? What chet? What does it mean I have sinned? I have sinned. What's the chet? Now, you can translate if you want. You can say the word chatasi here does not to be translated in a religious sense. The word chet does not necessarily mean you have transgressed the word of God. We use it in that fashion. The word chet means to miss the mark. If you're an archer and you're shooting an arrow and you're aiming for the bullseye and you miss the bullseye, you miss the mark, that's called a chet. It means you missed the mark. So if you want, you can translate the pasuk in a very literal sense. Chatasi, I missed the mark. Ki lo yodati, ki ato nitzav legrasi ba'adorech. I was not aware. It just means in this context, I was not aware. It does not have any religious significance. That is a possible translation for the word chatasi. However, the Darshanim choose to say, since 99% of the time in Tanakh, in Chazal, the word Chatasi does have a religious meaning, it means I have rebelled against the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have transgressed, there is some religious a sin that is alluded to here. And that only begs the question, what is the sin? Pasuk, what does Rashi say? Pasuk Lamidalid. There is no Rashi on the word Chatasi. So I saw, I don't remember where I saw, I'm trying to combine two ideas, two separate ideas, and put them together, which answers the question. I don't remember where I saw either of these two ideas. But the first idea is, indeed, there was a chait. Why was there a chait? Because if Bilam would have paid closer attention to, would have listened to the messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that fits perfectly what we just said a few minutes ago when we finished Eof, in the last psukim of Eof, of where Elihu was telling Eof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does respond according to the Mitzudos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you make a request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not like you think, Eof, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not speak, does not reply. Hashem does reply. It's only He does not reply in words. He replies in actions. And it fits very well what we learned. What we learned in the beginning of this week, that who indeed was Bilam? Who was Bilam? According to the Yerushalmi says that Bilam, according to Rabbi Akiva, Darash Rabbi Akiva, Elihu is Bilam. Ben Berachel. Berachel is Ben, the person, the individual who wanted to curse Klal Yisrael, and instead his curse was transformed into a bracha. Berachel. Ben Buzi, his nevuah was despised. So, and then it goes on, Mishpachas Ram. What does it say in the, I forgot already what it says in the Yerushalmi. It alludes also to Min Aram Yancheni Hashem. We have in the Pasuk later on, Min Aram. Aram is Miloshan Ram. Yancheni Kel Hashem has guided me. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, in the Yerushalmi, Bilam Elihu is Bilam. And it fits very well. What was Elihu's response to Eof? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed speaks to a person. It's just a matter of paying attention. Listen to my friend, as a famous shir, listen to your messages. The name of his book? One of his books, listen to your messages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He speaks to you. He speaks to you through actions. And here, indeed, Bilam is saying to the Malach, indeed, Chatasi. A person has an obligation to pay attention to what is going on in the world, and to listen and to pay attention. And every event, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to you and is giving you Hadracha, giving you guidance in Avodas Hashem. And if when I'm traveling on the road and my donkey now goes off the road, goes into the Sadeh, Bilam was the Baal Madrega. Okay, Bilam, we know on the one hand was a terrible person, but he also was a spiritual person. If he was the instrument in bringing the prophecy to Klal Yisrael, the Nevuah, obviously there was something very holy about him. There was something very spiritual about him. And if Bilam is traveling with his donkey is doing something that is extremely unusual by going off the Derech, going into the Sadeh, Shlei Kedarko, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Bilam a message. He's giving him a message. And that Bilam on his Madrega has the ability to decipher the message and to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not pleased with his conduct, that he's going to curse Klal Yisrael. And therefore, by him going and hitting the donkey and going back on the road, he is not paying attention. And not paying attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message is a sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now when the Malach continues to travel and hits Bilam into the wall, this is another message. And if Bilam chooses to ignore this message, Bilam on his Madrega is a sinner. And if Bilam, the third time, the Malach, the donkey, just stops in his tracks and crouches, and Bilam hits the donkey a third time, it's already a chazaka. Bilam refuses to pay attention to the messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending him. He is a sinner. Indeed, Chatasi, it's a very powerful expression. Chatasi is a powerful expression here. Bilam is coming to face with the reality that indeed he has sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu by not paying attention. Now, the reason why this Vart, I cherish this Vart so much, is because I saw another Vart which perfectly ties into this Vart. What is the other Vart that I'm referring to? Everyone, I'm sure, at one point in time heard of this idea. Let's go back to the Mak of Barad. There's a fascinating Maamar Chazal. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Barad upon the Egyptians, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that through this Makkah we will prove who has Yirah Shamayim. Hayore Yestivar Hashem. Hashem predicted in advance it's going to be hail, and you don't have to suffer. This Makkah is not going to be like the other Makkahs where you have no choice. You're going to have Dam, Tzvardei, Akinim, Arv, Dever, Shechin. You're going to have a choice. You can avoid the Makkah. The Barad will only descend in the fields. If you want to spare yourself from the Makkah, just go out to the field and take your animals indoors. Lock up your animals indoors and they will not be affected, they will not be injured by the Barat. The pasuk goes on to say there were some Egyptians that were God fearing. Hayorei estivar Hashem, heinis es avod. What's the pasuk? Like, heinis es. Elabotim. Those that were God fearing brought their livestock and their servants into the house. But the people who did not pay attention, they left their animals and servants out in the field and they exposed and they died. Now let's go step by step. First of all, there's a fascinating drush. The drush says, what would you expect the pasuk to say? Hayore devar Hashem heinis es avodov. Vasher lo yore devar Hashem. What is the parallel to Yerushalayim? Those that fear Hashem listen, and those that did not fear Hashem did not listen. But that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, Hayore devar Hashem listen. Vasher lo som libo. Those who did not pay attention. From this, the Darshanim teach us, what is the translation, what does it mean to be a Yorei Shemayim? To be a Yorei doesn't mean you have to sitter that a bolt of lightning will come down any moment and strike you out. That's not what it means to sit with the talus and tefillin wrapped up and learn and kollel the entire day. The translation of a Yorei Shemayim is the opposite of Lois Som Libo. It's to pay attention. Hayorei Devar Hashem, people who paid attention to what's going on in the world, to the Ten Makos, and to the dialogue between Moshe and Paro, those who paid attention, they took their animals and their servants inside. V'asher loy som libo, the people that did not pay attention. What does it mean, not pay attention? That's the opposite of Yorei Shemayim. These two things are parallel one to the other. Being a Yorei Shemayim, all you have to do to be a Yorei Shemayim is pay attention. Som libo. That's the taich of Yirah Shemayim. Nothing more than that. Now, let's go a step further. Fasten Chazal. Fasher Yore Devar Hashem. Who was the Yore Devar Hashem? It's the Gemara. I don't know where the Gemara is. Maybe it's the Bava Basra. I apologize, I didn't look up the Gemara. Everything is big chulled in my head. But who's the Yore Devar Hashem? Eoyf. Who was the one? There was only one person, according to the Medrash, according to Chazal, one person in the whole Egypt that took their animals and servants indoors. Eoyf. Because Eoyf is described in the beginning of Sefer Eoyf, Ish Tom V'Yashar, Yirei Hashem. Yirei Elokim, whatever it says in the beginning of Sefer Eoyf. He's Yirei Elokim. Eov is described in the beginning of Sefer as being a Yireya. He is the only one who brought his animals inside. V'asher loy som libo. Get a load of this. Who did Chazal say is the one that was not som libo? Who didn't pay attention? Bilam. Because here it says, the Malach, just like what it says over here, Chazal say the Malach, the animal three times goes off the derech. It goes off the derech. He doesn't pay attention. He's the one that's loisam libay el devar Hashem. He is the one that lacks yirah shemayim. So we put this together. Now we have a much greater appreciation of what it means chotasi. When Bilam here says, at this point, the Malach appears before Bilam and says, "Why have you beaten the animal three times?" And Bilam says, "You're right, chotasi." You know what he's saying, chotasi? He's not just saying chatasi for not paying attention to the malach coming three times and hitting the animal. He's also saying chatasi for his whole life. He's saying chatasi for not taking his animals and his servants into the house. By him not taking the animals, that was also a lack of Yirah Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's going to be a Makkah, there's going to be Barad. Show that you fear God. Express Yirah Shemayim by taking your animals and your servants indoors. And Bilam says, I am the person who was like some libo. I couldn't care less. Here, finally, when the Malach Elokim, he comes to a Din V'Cheshvan, with the Malach Elokim, I was there all along. Why didn't you pay attention? Why are you always the guy that's like some libo? He finally admits and confesses, after a long life, after a whole process, Chotasi. Person will have to give Din V'Cheshvan one day for not paying attention to what is happening in this world and taking action. Person has to be a Yorei Shemayim, and a Yorei Shemayim doesn't mean to learn Musar and Kollel the whole day. It means just simply to pay attention to what is occurring out there in the world.
Because if to have Yorei Shemayim you have to sit and learn Musar all day, not everybody is able to do that. But to go and do Sima Slave, that everyone is capable of doing.
Absolutely. Yirah Shemayim is on every person on their madrigal. It's different. That's a given.
And you say to the madrigal.
Wait, let him speak. Yeah.
This is a one-on-one situation.
Yeah.
Because when you look in the train and you read with Rashi, it seems to many people did listen to Hashem. Many people did. According to this invitation,
it
was only two people that were involved
with it. Well, okay, it could be they had people that followed in their philosophy in life. So Chazal focus on these two individuals, but we have to interpret Chazal, what do they really mean? Do they mean only these two individuals? That's not the simple understanding of the pasuk. This is like every medrash. You have to take it with a grain of salt. You have to understand what they really mean. So yeah, very quick.
If doesn't know in the case of the angel that is in front of him, how you know you're there that alone? How you there that alone?
That's separate. That's a separate thing. There are a lot of contradictions.
It's not a contradiction.
Okay, that's a side question. That's a side question.
Even an animal knows what it is.
Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea I saw, the essence of this idea I saw in the Sefer Shemen HaToiv. Shemen HaToiv by Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, the rabbi emeritus of the Young Israel of Williamsburg. So he says this, he quotes some of this from the previous Belzer Rebbe. What I'm saying is not exactly what he says, but it's pretty close. It's a very beautiful pasuk in the Haftarah. The Haftarah of Parashas Balak is one of the most powerful Haftarahs that we ever read. And Kadosh Baruch Hu has tainus on us. He's Teveya. Why are we not? Why don't we reciprocate? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so good to us. Why don't we reciprocate? And part of the complaint Hashem has against us comes from Micha, through the prophet Micha, is Hashem says, Ami, my nation, Ne osisi lucha. Look what I did for you. Umo hel esicha anevi. Okay, it goes, and that's the Hakdama, and that's not the pasuk I wanted. Pasuk Hey, Ami, my nation, Zichorinu, I ask of you, Ma Yo'atz, remember now, Zuchorna, remember now, Ma Yo'atz, Balak Melech Moav, what Balak Melech Moav Yo'atz, he advised, Ume Ono Oso Bilam Ben Ba'ar. And what was his response? What exactly does this mean? What is the simple translation? Here, Micha is speaking to us in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, telling Klal Yisrael, remember the good old days, remember the chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Balak ben Ba'ar, he was Yoatz, he took counsel with Bilam, and Bilam responded. So on a very simple level, it's a synopsis, a summary of the entire story of Parshas Balak. Balak tries to curse Klal Yisrael. He hires Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, and in the process, instead of Bilam cursing Klal Yisrael, Bilam blesses Klal Yisrael. He gives forth some of the most beautiful brachos that are incorporated into the Nusach HaTfilah. Matoiv Olach Yaakov Mishmasach Yisrael. We say some of the psukim of the Nusach on Rosh Hashanah and the Shemona Esrei. Vayhibit Avim B'Yaakov Lo Ro Amol B'Yisrael Hashem Lokav Imo Shuas Melchbo. Some of the most powerful psukim which are incorporated into the Nusach HaTfilah and the Yom Naram come from none other than Bilam. And this was in response to Balak. Balak tried to hire Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, and in response, Bilam went and he gave forth beautiful expressions of praise. That's the very simple translation of the understanding of these words. But if you read to translate the words more literally, it doesn't really work. There's something missing. Ami zuchor no, remember, my Yoatz, Balak melech Moav. Yoatz means to counsel. Yoatz, it's not really the word that you would choose if you were writing the pasuk. You would say the word asherah sochar. He hired. Balak hired Bilam. Melech Moav ume one also. What his response was? What do you mean response? What response? He wasn't responding directly to Balak. He was responding to he ended up in the process. He started blessing Klal Yisrael. Okay, there is a response in the pasuk where he says, "I told you I can't curse them. Only what Hashem tells me to do, I'm going to do." You can work around it, but there's something that's missing. So the Shemin Atov says an idea that answers the pasuk much more directly by taking note of the discrepancy between Balak's request and Bilam's reaction. Okay, let me go back to the parsha. In the beginning of that's Socha, but it doesn't say Socha. Here it says Rabbi. The Chumash says it, right? That's the question. So the expression is not correct. Why does he say the word Yoatz? So if we look at the parsha, look at the words, the beginning of the parsha. Okay, the parasha begins. Vayishlach malochim el Bilam ben Ba'or pesora asher al anhor eretz b'nei Amor lekor lo lemar. As follows. Here are the words, the message that Balak sends to Bilam. Hinei behold, Am, the nation, yotza mimitzrayim. The word yotza is in the past tense. There is a nation who has left Egypt. How they got out of there, no one knows. But they got out. Yotz in the past tense. Hinei behold, chisos ein aretz. They're covering the face of the earth. They're all spread out in the desert. They're on the border, my border. And who knows? They're violent people. Who knows? They can just come and attack. There'll be no more Moab before I turn around. I need you to come and help me. V'hu yoshev mimuli. V'yata l'chono oreli yesamazek. Yotzumu mimeni. Ulayu chalnakim v'agoshem in aretz. So this is his request. But he begins his request with the words, he describes Klal Yisrael as a nation who was Yotza Mimitzrayim. Now, let's go further. So Bilam says, okay, listen, I don't know. I have to consult with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I know that he's going to speak to me tonight, so let's wait it out. Okay. Who are these people? So Hashem, so Bilam responds to HaKadosh Baruch. Now, Bilam, when Bilam talks, Bilam is relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what happened. Vayomer Bilam el Elokim, Balak ben Tzipor Melech Moav Shalach Elai, Hinei Ha'om Hayotzei Mimitzrayim. He doesn't say the same expression. The people that are in the present, they are presently in the process of leaving Egypt. They're not in the process of leaving Egypt. They left Egypt. Ha'am yotza mimitzrayim. When Balak asked Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael, Balak said, "Hinei ha'am yotza mimitzrayim." And now when Bilam speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't lie. When you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he rewrote the script, he was accurate, and he said there are a nation who is in the process of being Yoytzei Mimitzrayim, Vayichas, they are currently covering Esein Aretz Ata, I was asked L'chon Kavali also Ulai Uchali Lachem of a Gei Rashtif. And this idea is also expressed again later in the parasha, when part of the brachos that Bilam expresses to Klal Yisrael, he goes kel hotz, that's hotzi'on, that's the first time, and the second time it says hotzi'o, the present tense. The first time is in the past tense, the second time is in the present tense. Kel motzi'o mimitzrayim kisafo sra'im lo, pasiches, perik chavgil pasiches, in the present tense. So the bells are off, and Shemna Tov develops this, and he says that's really what's going on between Bilam and Balak. Bilam was reluctant to curse Klal Yisrael. Balak did not share his concern. Balak, what's the big deal? This nation, I'm aware, they were instrumental in destroying Egypt. There were 10 makos, makos b'choros, but what was. Hinei ha'am yotza mimitzrayim. They had a glorious past. They were on a spiritual high. But that's it, it's over. How long can you sustain spirituality? How long does it last? They had some good days in Egypt. They escaped Egypt. But it's over. They've lost their shine. They've lost their power. They're nothing special anymore. They're just the nation that's yotza, a wonderful past, a wonderful history. They're just like you and me. They're just an ordinary nation. And now you will succeed if you curse the nation, if you will curse them. Bilam said to Balak, you got it all wrong. You're making a big mistake. You think it's yotza? It's not yotza. They're yotze. They're in the process of going out. In other words, the entire Jewish history, from the beginning of time to the end of time, Klal Yisrael is always begeder, the yotze in Mitzrayim. Night of Pesach, chayev adam, leharois sesatzmo, ki ilu hu yotze in Mitzrayim. You relive the experience. We relive it for real on Pesach, but the truth is we live it every single day. Every single day we're constantly reminded to remember Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, because Klal Yisrael, in the big picture of things, we are always constantly in a state of redemption. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always present in every single moment. He is continuously taking us out of Golus. He is continuously bringing forth the ultimate Geula, and therefore, just like you acknowledged it was impossible to harm the people when they were in Egypt, because then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them, the Shekhinah was with them. The Shekhinah is with them in the Midbar. The Shekhinah is with them no matter where Klal Yisrael is. Now it makes a lot more sense why the word Yoatz is used in the Haftarah. Ani zechorna my Yoatz Balak es Bilam. When Balak spoke to Bilam, he wasn't just hiring him. I'm hiring you and I'm giving you advice. I'm giving you insight and counsel. The counsel I'm telling you is this people is a people that's Yotza. I'm giving you Eitza. I'm giving you insight into their nature, and therefore you'll be able to overcome them. And what was the response? The response was Kel Hotzi'o Mimitzrayim. No. Just like what Bilam said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the people are going forth in the present, that's exactly what he actually said in the brachos, which he uttered in the presence of Bilam. Bilam was present when he gave forth the brachos, and in those brachos it was also to some degree directed at Bilam. It was made known to Balak. It was made known to him that your Eitzah, your counsel, that it's possible to curse Klal Yisrael because their special nature is over, was in the past, is wrong. Has not passed. They're constantly in the process of redemption, and it is impossible to inflict upon them any harm. So this is the give and take between Balak and Bilam, the Haftarah, and a very deep meaning in the Nitzchis of Klal Yisrael, the Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaken.
How did Bilam to not have this idea that they're constantly... I mean, where does he get that from?
How does Bilam
know that their success is not over? It's a continual thing.
Because Bilam, to some degree, is a prophet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given Bilam insight. That's part of the what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for the Umos Olam. He was a prophet. Okay, I want to go to another. I'm going to go to another idea. Now, this idea is that I want to warn you. Is an incomplete idea. It's just a rayon of thought. It doesn't answer the bigger question, but it touches upon what we're learning now in the Ion Sefer Eoif. We're spending a lot of time learning Sefer Iyyov, and this Yerushalmi that we learned this week is just such a fascinating Yerushalmi. It's impossible to learn the parasha without incorporating it into what we're learning, the Yonin Yom of the parasha. We learned this week, according to Rabbi Akiva, okay, you can't go wrong with Rabbi Akiva, the father of Torah Shebaal Peh. Who is Elihu? Elihu is none other than Bilam. That's what it says. This is not anything esoteric. This is in the Gemara. He darshed in the Pasuk. We have Ben Brachel, Ben, the individual who was instrumental in bringing bracha to Klal Yisrael. Buzi, his nevuah was despised. Mimishpach Hasram, Min Aram, Yancheni Elokim. Who is Elihu? Elihu is Bilam. Now again, we have to just review. Elihu is the person who answers the question. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini no es kivodecha, which Chazal interpret the question that was bothering Moshe to no end is, why do tzaddikim suffer? Tzaddik v'ralev rasha v'tovlo, the one that gives the final authoritative answer is Elihu. The Ramban says this. The Ramban says Elihu is the one, the three friends, Eliphaz, Sefer, Bildad, fail in providing an adequate response, and they are criticized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of Sefer Iyov. Elihu responds, Iyov does not speak up, does not reply, which seems to indicate that he accepts their answer, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not criticize Elihu, which seems to indicate that Elihu, in his very mysterious and cryptic esoteric response, does explain in words this mystery of tzaddik v'raloi rasha v'toivlai. Okay, let's put that down as a hagdama. Now, next point of hagdama. Who is Iyov? We learned this when we started Sefer Iyov. Very, very well known Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Baba Basra. I don't remember the whole Gemara in detail, but the Gemara there has a long discussion. When did Iyov live? According to one opinion, he lived during the time of Yaakov Avinu, and he married Dinah. According to one opinion, he lived during Shlomo HaMelech, Malchus Shiva. According to one opinion, he lived during Ahasuerus. They were searching for the beautiful women of all the land. According to another opinion, he lived during the Shoftim. Okay, I don't remember all the different opinions, but basically the opinions take us, they span the entire period of history. From the earliest time of history, Yaakov Avinu, or further, Avraham Avinu, go back, forget Yaakov, there's a Chazal who lived during Avraham, that's the whole story with the Satan. Avraham versus Iyov. Go back to the beginning of time, to Avraham Avinu, go all the way down to Achashverosh. Achashverosh is already during the time of, in between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. We are spanning a long period of time. And then the Gemara says another opinion. Guess what? Iyov never existed. He never existed. He was nothing more than a mushal for us to understand the depth of tzaddik v'ralo. And we discuss when we started Sefer Iyov that Rav Schwab basically says elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Iyov, on the one hand, was a real person, but on the one hand was a mushal, meaning there was more than one Iyov. There are people who suffer. There are tzaddikim who suffer in time, in every generation. Every generation you can identify in Iyov. And Sefer Iyov is a composite of every tzaddik who has suffered from the beginning of time to the end of time. And every argument that a tzaddik can make in frustration, of complaint, why am I suffering, is presented in this individual who we call Iyov, who is truly a composite of all of the multiple Iyovs. The Iyov that lived the time of Abraham, there was an Iyov who lived, there was a tzaddik who suffered in the time of Yaakov, there was an Iyov who lived in the time of Achashverosh, an Iyov who lived in every generation. He never really existed, because he did exist in every single, he wasn't one individual, he was many individuals. From the beginning of time, and all of the possible responses of Tzofar and Bildad and Eliphaz are all the possible things that you can respond, which are ultimately rejected as pure nonsense. And the only response is Elihu. Okay, now with that in mind, let me add one more. It's a question. If Iyov is the individual, is the tzaddik who suffers from the beginning of time to the end of time, how can one man, how can this individual called Elihu, what gives him the right to answer the question? How can you respond, Elihu, if Chazal are telling us is a person, is one person from who actually lived in one period of time was Bilam. Was Bilam? How can Bilam have an answer to a question that spans the beginning of time to the end of time? Yeah, what I'm saying is not a complete matter. I just want to bring out an idea. So I want to add one more ingredient to the mix, which will open things up. There's a Targum Yonasam in Uzil, and it's also a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that tells us Bilam was Lavan. Targum Yonasan ben Uzil here on the parasha says Min Aram Yancheni, or is possible Melech Moav Aram Lavan Huarami. Bilam is none other than Lavan himself. The Gemara, I think, if I'm not mistaken, says that he was the son of Lavan. Because the problem is Lavan, we know that Bilam is it was the son. Okay, there are different versions. Either he was actually this Lavan, the Targum seems to say he was actually Lavan, which is very difficult because we have a tradition that Bilam was 33 years old when he died. And Lavan, okay, whatever, all of these things are Midrashim, what they mean. But whatever it means, it's not important, there is definitely a relationship between Bilam and Lavan. So look at what we have here. We have here something very, very bizarre. We have Bilam, Lavan, and Yehu. We have three different names. Elihu. Three different names for all the same person. Elihu, Rabbi Akiva says, without any holding back, Elihu is Bilam. And who is Bilam? Bilam is Lavan. These three people, obviously, to some degree, are all related. Now, when we take note that they're all related, it opens up for us insight into how Elihu would have the right to address Eiv. Lavan was present at the time. When was the first time Lavan came in contact with Klal Yisrael? Lavan was living at home, was the child of Bethuel, and one day arrives Eliezer Eved Avram. Avram Avinu, the beginning of Klal Yisrael. Avram has a child, Yitzchak, ki be Yitzchak yikaru l'chozara. Arriving on the scene is Eliezer Ashtar, v'Hashem beirach as Avraham b'akol, and this star is going to be the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. Everything that Avraham has is going to go to Yitzchak, ki be Yitzchak l'chozara, we need a shirach. Arami oyved avi. Arami, this Lavan Arami, he wanted to kill Eliezer. He wanted to kill him and take all the property for himself. And then we would not know, everyone knows the Magadha, we would not know who Eliezer was Meshanech, who he was Meshanech Yitzchak, and therefore Yitzchak would not be able to get married because Yitzchak, whatever the story was. A question, or some Shtekhuso, it would be a sibling, whatever it was, but it says in the Haggadah, Arami Oyved Avi. Farami Lavan Harami wanted to destroy Avi Klal Yisrael. Then what happens? Bethuel dies, and ultimately Lavan becomes the father-in-law of Yaakov Avinu. He gives him two wives, Rachel and Leah, and he gives him a very hard time. 14 years, 20 years, gives him a very hard time, and then finally when he leaves, he says some very harsh things. Yesh Le'el Yadi. I have power. If I want to bring upon you harm, I can do it. The only reason why I'm not going to bring upon you harm is because Hashem said, I'm not going to harm you. Okay, we go forward. Who is Lavan? Also, Abonos. Everything is mine. Everything is mine. I can do whatever I want. First, he wants to destroy Klal Yisrael. Then he says, If I could, I would harm you. I would do whatever I want. He exchanged his portion 10 times. He gave him a lot of tzaras. And he tells him, I can do whatever I want to you. I can harm you. And now, Lavan morphs into Bilam. That's what it says in the Gemara. That's what it says in the Targum Yonasan and Aram Yancheni. And what does Lavan now see? He sees Klal Yisrael 600,000 people strong. He sees Klal Yisrael and he says, "Matoivu ohelecha Yaakov Mishkan Osecha Yisrael." He sees the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Not only does he see Klal Yisrael in their present state of kedusha in the Midbar, 600,000 people strong in the Midbar, surviving on Mon, on the Be'er, Matan Torah, he says, come Balak, let me tell you what your people, what they're going to do to your people by Achris Hayamim. Bilam is given insight in the Achris Hayamim Yimos HaMashiach. We have a whole series of sukkim describing Yimos HaMashiach. It comes out something very fascinating. This one person saw Klal Yisrael from the very beginning to the very end. Bilam is Lavan. Lavan saw Klal Yisrael from day one. And not only did he see Klal Yisrael from day one, he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael from day one. And then with love, then with Rachel and Leah, he also wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. And then when he runs away, I want to do harm, but I can't do harm. And then he comes now to the Midbar, he comes to curse Klal Yisrael. And he can't curse Klal Yisrael. And then he gets inside, he has a vision of Klal Yisrael, the Achris Hayamim, and he sees how they thrive.
He's the architect of Kol HaBeinah Ilo, according to the Gemara, right?
Lavan. And Chrami, Kol HaBeinah also. He sees firsthand the Tzaddik, Klal Yisrael, the Tzaddik, the Raloi. He sees how the tzaddik is desperately trying to survive the harm that has been planned against him. Every step of the way is Lavan / Bilam / Elihu have insight into the tzaddik. The tzaddik is the neshama of Klal Yisrael, which represents Klal Yisrael's their neshama from the beginning of time to the end of time. How they're struggling to survive, tzaddik viralo, but yet prevails. They prevail. The netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Who is Iyov? What did we discuss? Iyov lohayiv lo nivra. He's only a mashal. But he wasn't. He lived during the time of Yaakov. He lived during the time of Moshe. He lived during the time of Achashverosh. No, Iyov is the tzaddik. Is the neshama of the tzaddik that suffers from the beginning of time to the end of time. Elihu is the match for Iyov. Iyov is the tzaddik viralo from beginning of time to the end of time. Elihu is the observer. Is the observer of the tzaddik viralo from the beginning of time to the end of time. He is the one that is able to say edus, to say testimony, the netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. In the big picture of things, there's no ra to the tzaddik. The tzaddik, everything that happens to the tzaddik is part of a plan of the Kor HaBarzel, a plan to refine Klal Yisrael, to bring out the best of Klal Yisrael, to guide Klal Yisrael to their ultimate destiny in bringing Mashiach be'achris hayamim. The two are parallels. They're, two of them are matches, one for the other. Just not, we have an Elihu, and we have an Iyov, and this one talks, and that one talks. Look who they are. Elihu is Bilam. Bilam is Lavan. What's the unique about Lavan and Bilam? Beginning of time to end of time. Not just beginning of time to end of time. This is the one that's trying to bring the Tzah. He's the one that's trying to bring the Ra. He's the one, Arami Oivet Avi. And then when Yaakov comes, no, I'm going to give you Rachel. No, I'll give you Leah. Rachel, Leah, and we know all the problems that created for Klal Yisrael. Yosef and Reuven. That itself was a plan to destroy Klal Yisrael. And then Yesh El Yadi. And then what took place in the Midbar. I'm going to curse you. Kol HaBein is the plan to destroy Klal Yisrael. I'm going to curse Klal Yisrael. And then he gets insight to Achris Hayamim. He can see that you really can't give tzar to a tzaddik. The neshama, the collective neshama of Klal Yisrael is the tzaddik, and all the ra that is being brought upon the tzaddik is just... It's just a facade. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the big, it doesn't answer the question as for the on an individual basis, obviously. But in the big picture of things for Klal Yisrael will achieve its goal. Achris Hayamim, Venetzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, Elihu, Lavan, Bilam is a witness to this, and he is the one that is Mechazek Iyov, that this indeed is true. Okay, with that, we will.